tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning, Next Level Church. Sorry. Good morning. My name is Monica Shepherd, and I have the honor of speaking with you here today. I think it's because I'm sleeping with your pastor. I don't know. I am married to your lead pastor, Rob. We're celebrating 17 years this year. And he's just as fantastic off the stage as he is on the stage. So I have big shoes to fill. He's amazing. He's a great father. Except for most mothers, you probably had an easier job this morning. You maybe slept in. You maybe had an attempt at breakfast by your kids, but it made a bigger mess. He gave me his work to do. Like, I had to wake up earlier. I didn't really see my kids yet, which, I mean, I could go either way. I haven't really had breakfast. Like, I got tricked a little bit. So regardless, I'm excited to be here today. Happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there. I hope it's less sweaty and shaky than mine, because this is not natural for me in front of adults. Give me a room of fourth graders, I can take them. We do follow the YouVersion app here at Next Level, so if you don't have it, you can download it. If you have it, you can follow along in the events tab so that you can dig in a little bit deeper. We are kicking off a new series here at Next Level called The Second Mile, and my first thought was, oh Lord, second mile, we're running, I don't run. No one likes to run, but it's not about that either, and so thankfully we can avoid the actual physical exercise. But what it is about is how we can push past what's comfortable and that we can live a life with purpose and tell a story that's greater than our own. And that's what it means to live in the second mile. Have you ever had something in your life you didn't like? Like, you had a boyfriend, you didn't really like him, but you didn't want to break up with him because then you're single. You've got a little extra pounds on you, but you don't want to exercise, so you just kind of stay comfortable where you are. You don't love living paycheck to paycheck, but budgeting's hard, so you do it. Your kid's wild, but it's easier to say yes than it is to actually have discipline. And even though we don't love it there, and sometimes we don't really like it, we stick to what's comfortable. And I love this quote by Donald Miller. It says, humans are designed to seek comfort and order. And so if they have comfort and order, they tend to plant themselves, even if their comfort isn't all that comfortable, and even if they secretly want for something better. So living in that comfort zone is something we all struggle with, even me. But what if that comfort zone is what's causing you to miss out on the greatest joys of life, of that bigger story? And the scriptures, actually give us an answer to that. And here at Next Level, we like to honor the scripture by standing as we read it together. So if you could do me a favor and stand as we check out what Paul has to say. It's up on the screen if you could follow along. It says, yet we hear that some of you are living in laziness, refusing to work, and wasting your time in gossiping. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we appeal to such people. We command them to quiet down, get to work, and earn their own living. And to the rest of you, I say, dear brothers, never be tired of doing right. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your scriptures to understand how to make sense of our mess. I pray that those here and in churches everywhere this morning would lay down their distractions and focus on you and your word. Speak to us, Jesus. Give us the courage to not just listen, but to obey. Amen. So our text was written by the Apostle Paul. And if you've been here long, you know that Rob refers to Paul as? PTP, a primetime player. He was a missionary that went through the world and spread the word of Jesus. He wrote over half of the New Testament, kind of a big deal. And he also started a church in Thessalonica. You can kind of see that base word there. He was forced to leave pretty abruptly, and it kind of left all those new Christians not really knowing what exactly to do. Plus, they were being persecuted for their faith. So Paul writes them a letter to encourage them to live a godly life. One of the problems this church in Thessalonica was having trouble is because they were getting lazy. Kind of like Paul had left, they could kind of slack up, they didn't really know what to do. They weren't pulling their weight. But Paul addresses it, and nothing changes. It's kind of like my kids. Like, I tell them one time, nothing changes. I have to tell them again. And that's what Paul did, and that's where our text is found. In chapter 3, verse 6, it says, now here is a command, dear brothers, given in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by his authority. So we stop there for a second because we see that Paul's not playing around. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. So if you are a Christian, you call yourself a Christ follower, this is for you. And he kind of pulls out the big guns. He does what moms and dads across the country do, and they use Jesus' full name. He's not just saying, I command you for Jesus. He says, I command you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He uses his full name there. So we have to pay attention, okay? In other words, we pay attention, we hone into what he's saying here, and we know that it's about to be big. He goes on to say what Jesus commands of us. Stay away from any Christian who spends his day in laziness and does not follow the ideal of hard work we set up for you. Now, all of us have lazy in us. It varies from person to person, but we're all kind of wired to find our own comfort zone, okay? We do the bare minimum, and we try to get results and do the best with that. That's kind of lazy. So I go to the Y 4 to 5 times a week. I drink a protein shake for breakfast, and I have one for lunch, and my staple snacks are an apple, cottage cheese, hard-boiled egg. I should be much smaller. But I kind of live there in the first mile. I settle for my comfortable obesity. I don't do the second mile. I start snacking. I have dessert. We go out to eat. I post the workout on Instagram so I can check the box and look like I'm juggling all the things so well. But the reality is I'm just comfortable there in the first mile. And God is calling us to do more and to be more. So how do we change this? How do we stop doing the bare minimum, kind of take a look at our life and do something significant? Because a lot of times we get in our own way, okay? I'd like to tell you that any time you're not where you want to be in life, it's because you've accepted your comfort zone. I'm here where I am with my weight and my size because I've accepted my comfort zone, okay? It's the truth. Lazy people offer excuses. I don't have time to work out. It's easier just to pop in the Trader Joe's lasagna than it is to grill chicken and make a salad. It's just the truth for me. But it's an excuse. So you don't have time. You don't have everything you need. Lazy people offer excuses, and that's not who we are in Christ. We are sons and daughters of Jesus. He has called us for more. He has equipped us for more. And like Paul says, he has commanded us for more. Also, as Next Level Church, we don't have time for excuses. We're called to love people, love Jesus, and make a difference. And I think that's so important. So Paul gives us this strong warning to stay away from Christians who spend their days in lazy. We all have a little laziness, but if there's someone who's stuck and not willing to do anything about it, they're idle, and they can suck you right in. So that's why Paul says to stay away from them. But it also doesn't sound very Jesus-like. Like, well, they're Christians. What do you mean stay away from them? That's not the nicest thing. I'm not sure Jesus would do that. But he does, and it's the same thing we do with my kids. When one of my children has to take a time out, why am I sending them to time out? Sometimes it's to move them away from me so there's not, like, physical consequences that I can't control. Most of the time, it's for them to go to another room, think about what they've done, figure out what they've done, because sometimes they don't know, and figure out how they're going to change that behavior. So they take a break from our family. We're not kicking them out of our family. We're giving them a break so that they can think about what they've done, be ready to apologize, and be ready to make changes. The timeout's not effective if we don't expect them to make changes when they come out of timeout. So in that culture, back in this time in Thessalonica, this is so important because the church was a lot different than our church today. It was a biblical view of church, and so they offered family for each other. They often provided food for each other. They were a support system for each other. So if they were asked to take a break, it's kind of a big deal, kind of embarrassing. And I know some of you are like, I wish I could have taken a break today. I would have loved to stay home. That wouldn't have been a big deal. Or if some of you didn't like what was happening here, you can just move on down the road to another church, and it's not a big deal. But back then, it was a big deal because it was the church. Okay, they didn't have all the options that we did. So the point is something we should wrestle with. If someone is not busy serving God, it leads to idleness, and that's what Paul's talking about in this chapter. So every man who's idle ends up getting kind of taken over by their sinful desire. When they're bored and not engaged, it opens pathways to these sinful desires. I was an elementary teacher for 11 years. When my kids were acting up, it's because they were bored and because my lessons or whatever we were doing at the time wasn't engaging. And I could pull myself together right quick and I knew what I needed to do to engage them because if they're bored, they're distracted. If you're bored in your marriage, you're going to get distracted by another woman. If you're bored at your job, you're going to cut corners and not do your best. You know, like that boredom, and if you're not engaged, is just the pathway to following down the road of things that where you don't need to be, Okay? So in the real world, when we lack purpose, we begin to wander, and we often wander to things that aren't healthy for us. It's a big deal, and that's why Paul says it in a second follow-up letter to them and why it's still a command for us today. He goes on to say, "For you well know that you ought to follow our example. You never saw us loafing. We never accepted food from anyone without buying it. We worked hard day and night for the money we needed to live on, in order that we would not be a burden to any of you. It wasn't that we didn't have the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to show you firsthand how you should work for your living. Even while we were still there with you, we gave you this rule: he who does not work shall not eat." So Paul reminds the church that he has set an example by working hard for us. He's not against hospitality here. He's against entitlement. He's against those Christians in that church sitting back and expecting other people to carry the burden and do the work for them, and then they would reap the benefits, okay? He doesn't think it's a good representation of Jesus to just sit and loaf, like he said, which is kind of a funny word, but that's exactly what it is. Like, you just kind of get comfortable and loafy, and you don't want to move forward, okay? And so he tells us why, and I want to add real quick, too, there's a huge difference between participating and spectating. If I go to the gym and sit in a chair and watch them work out, I might learn a few things, but I'm not going to reap any benefits from it. If I actually go and do something, I would start to see benefits from that, okay? So there's a huge difference between coming to church on a Sunday and leaving and not do anything with it. You're just spectating. It's that first mile. You've come here, and that's awesome. But you're not doing that second mile. You're not plugging in. You might not be taking notes. You might not be reflecting it during the week. So we need to really think about what Paul says and check out what he says next. He says, "Yet we hear that some of you are living in laziness, refusing to work, and wasting your time in gossiping." So as a pastor's wife, I tend to hear a little bit more and see a little bit more behind the scenes here at church. And that one thing that happens is people get unhappy because they've gotten comfortable, and they're taking it in and taking it in, and all of a sudden, they don't feel like their needs are being met, so they start talking, and they start going negative. They complain like it's a level 10, when really it's not. And when I offer a solution, they don't want to hear that. They're just like, oh, they actually have to do something. There's a problem with that, and they push back. They loaf, like Paul said. So it's a mystery to me until I realize that. Like the earlier quote, we are designed to seek comfort and order. And once we have that comfort and order, we plan ourselves, even if it's not that comfortable. So we sit down to watch TV, and we can't reach the remote, so we just leave it on, because that's comfortable. Like, we're watching TV, we're resting, that's the first mile, but I'm not getting up. Or we gain a little weight, or we lose a little weight, but we still keep wearing the same clothes that are ill-fitting, because we don't want to do that next step, you know? And that's laziness. And that laziness often leads to gossip and negativity. Paul points out that if you have time to gossip, you aren't working for God. Working for God means you are too busy to rehash someone's story because you are living your own story worth telling. And I think there's so much power in that, because when I'm focused on other people or telling my friends about so-and-so, it means that my story is not worth talking about, and I'm giving all these other people space in my head that's keeping me from living the story that God has given me. So right now in my life, I am a LuLaRoe consultant. I work with a lot of women in my job and helping them find clothes. I also have a team of 21 under me, and I'm a trainer in the company. And one of the things that I say the most often, every day, is stay in your lane. Stop worrying about how much they're selling, how much they're not selling, what pretty patterns they got and what you didn't get. Stay focused on you. Put your energy into your business and what you're doing and reap the rewards. Stop giving them space. Stay in your lane. So for you guys today, you might not be retailers, but if you put the energy of complaining and gossiping and all that negativity into your own story, just think about how much more fun that is, okay? So laziness has a cost when you don't spend time creating an exciting life. But if you live a life with purpose, you end up spending time talking about people who do, because you draw excitement from that. Look what God's doing in their life, and did you hear about this? And that's compelling for other people, okay? Some of our negativity and boredom isn't compelling for others, all right? The amazing part is God invites us into his story. We get to be a part of something so much bigger than ourselves. And so when we love others and we give and we serve, it just proclaims the name of Jesus, just like the Apostle Paul did, okay? So when I tell stories, I want them to be about the stories I've taken for God. I want to talk about the amazing things God's doing that will help inspire people. God is moving still today, not just back in the old church, okay? And you need to be a part of that. And to do that, you have to take that step and go the second mile. If you have time to gossip and you don't have time to live your own story, you're not spending enough time exhausting yourself with a purpose. And one of the leadership lessons I've learned with LuLaRoe is that it's a phrase we say to each other all the time. You should be exhausted with a purpose, okay? The things that you're doing should make you tired, okay? I'm tired all the time, right? And I know a lot of you are too. We're tired because we've got kids and we've got jobs and we've got all these things we're juggling. We don't feel like we can juggle them well. But when you shift that to like, why am I tired tonight? Am I tired tonight because I was just doing the mundane? I was staying in that comfortable zone. I was being negative. That will suck the life out of you. And if you stay there, it's not a story that anyone wants to hear, okay? So that this whole series is based off Jesus' teaching to go the second mile. In Matthew 5, it says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. So Jesus is commanding us to do this for our enemies. So like if your enemy wants you to do this, do the next step. Take the next step with them. So if he is commanding this for us and our enemies, how much more is he telling us to do this in our own families, in our own lives, in our jobs, at our church? Like, this is a huge commandment for Jesus, okay? So ultimately, it can be one of the most important teachings in Scripture, okay? This teaching to go the second mile is one that separates us from experiencing God's best, from settling for the mundane, okay? So when you're living life in that second mile that he talks about here in Matthew, you're living God's story, and you're doing it with his strength and with his purpose, and that's huge, okay? So some of you have heard of the author Jim Collins, and he has this famous quote, good is the enemy of great. And this full quote is very challenging. Good is the enemy of great, and that is one of the key reasons we have so little that becomes great. We don't have great schools, principally because we have good schools. We don't have great government, principally because we have good government. Few people attain great lives, in large part because it's just so easy to settle for a good life. So I don't know about you, but I don't want just a good church. I don't want to be another church in Yorktown. I want to be a great church. I don't want to be a good mom. We can all be good moms. I want to be a great mom. I want to live a life with a purpose and a story so that my kids can tell it one day and want to follow in those footsteps. I don't want to be good at my job. I want to be great at it. You know, like you can apply it to wherever you are in life. You can apply that good to great principle. You know, we can't go in a series called The Second Mile without referencing Chick-fil-A, because after Jesus, like, they're doing that. The owner was just compelled by this mission to go the second mile, and it's why their customer service is so great, okay? He understood Jesus' commandment to go the second mile, and his son says this, if you want to make a difference, step over the line into that second mile, because magical things happen there. There's joy and fun and reward in that second mile. So the second mile's not easy. It's not comfortable, okay? Being up here is not comfortable for me. It's not easy for me. But I believe it's being obedient to what God's asked me to do, okay? And there's magic in that. Like, that word magical, isn't it fun? It's fun for my six-year-olds, and it's fun for me and as an adult. Like, I want to have a magical marriage. Get out of here. Like, that's awesome. I want to go to a magical church. But we don't, because we settle for what's good. We settle for what's comfortable, okay? So people also are going to share your story. They share stories about people going the second mile. We talk about Truett Cathy and Chick-fil-A because they've gone the second mile. A secret, I don't even really like Chick-fil-A. Don't tell people. I'm a McDonald's or Taco Bell girl, clearly. But I'll give them this. Their customer service isn't, they open the door, they take your tray, they say my pleasure. Those things aren't always hard, but they're consistent. They're consistent in living life in that second mile, and that's what sets them apart. And that's why I take my kids to play there at their playground and not the others, you know, because they go that second mile. So how do we live life in that second mile if we're busy? Because we're all busy. I'm busy. I get it. The majority of the things I'm busy with can't come off my plate either. They're just not optional. But that's life, and that's life for me and for you. But you can be busy in that life with a purpose. You can be exhausted with a purpose. You can live intentionally so that God can tell a greater story. So you ask a lot of, sometimes, I'm sorry, but mainly women, how are you? I'm okay. I'm busy. I'm tired. Oh, okay. I mean, we all are. I get it. And I'm not putting that down because I'm there a lot. But that's not compelling. No one wants to be there. No one wants to hang out with that person who's tired and busy and, yeah, you know, like, no one wants to camp out there. So don't. Make an effort to be intentional and live a life that's exhausting but with a purpose, okay? To give and to serve and to love Jesus, we have to intentionally go the second mile. So how can we do this? Paul goes on to tell us in verse 12 and 13, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we appeal to such people. We command them to quiet down, get to work, and earn their own living. And to the rest of you, I say, dear brothers, never be tired of doing right. Hey, did you catch what he said? In the name of Jesus, get to work, okay? Not just any work, though. Work that matters. Work that's compelling and tells a bigger story. And never get tired of doing right. Because you do. Don't you get tired of doing the right things? I get tired of going to the Y every morning. I want to go back to bed. But you can't. Like, you can't get tired of doing those things. God has called us to a much higher calling. So Tim Keller is an author, and he says, our greatest fear as individuals and as a church should not be a failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. So if you want to make a difference, you have to go the second mile. The first mile is good, but greatness comes in that second mile. Okay, so we have to follow what Jesus has commanded. So we're not going to succeed at things that don't really matter, like he says. We're going to work. We're going to do things with a purpose, and magical things are going to start to happen. Okay, so for me in church, I went to college at Longwood to become a teacher, and I joined a church. It was the first time I had a church family, and I decided to take that next step. Go the second mile. So I started volunteering with the students. And that's where I met Rob. The magic happened in that second mile, and now we're married. at our next church, we joined a group. We plugged right in. And it's there where we met Courtney Martin and Dan and Danielle Peters, and we have life-changing friendships with them. Those people, and I see Ryan and Candace Sparks here, we were in group with them. Those people rallied with us and loved us and journeyed with us to help be part of the 12 that started Next Level Church. That second mile friendship, that second mile obedience, and those things for us were found in taking that next step at church. So the application for today is to take the next step, to go the second mile at Next Level, or for those of you that are visiting for Mother's Day, to take that next step to go the second mile at your church. So you're already at church today. That's the first mile. That's great. And at Next Level, we talk about taking steps. So what's your next step? Maybe it's just reaching out to someone here and connecting. Maybe it's going to lunch with them. Maybe it's giving someone a call or shooting a Facebook message during the week. It could possibly be joining a group or giving financially and trusting in that way or signing up to volunteer. Whatever it is, it's going to be different for all of you, and I can't tell you what that is. But Paul's words are get to work. Take those next steps. And live a life that's not lazy, and know that when you're exhausted, it's going to be with a purpose. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this church, for being a place to challenge us, not to just stay comfortable and soak it all in, but to be a church that loves you, loves people, and makes a difference. God, we just pray that you would help us to be obedient in those things, that you would draw us to you this week, that you would help us to know what's next for us. Help us to live a life with purpose, that's intentional and tells your story, Father God, not ours. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.